I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. We are 49 days from the opening game against the Los Angeles Rams. We are, when we're recording this, about, 3 days from training camp. Got Robin here with me, and this episode we're going to talk all about training camp. Robin, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, mate. I just heard the magic number, 50 days, 7 weeks tonight. We're recording on a Thursday evening, which means 7 weeks from now I'll be drinking my sixth cup of coffee. And, and I think if my maths is correct, we will be about 3 hours away from opening day kickoff. So my left leg will be jiggling, and I'll have all my Bills gear on, and the countdown will almost be over. It's like getting a Christmas present early when you do those opening night games. You get the Thursday night games, but then on the Sunday it's going to be rubbish because we won't have a Bills game. So we get our Christmas present 3 days early, but then there's nothing to open on Christmas Day.
But then, we've got an extra day.
Six hours of commercial free football, my friend. That's what we'll have on the Sunday.
Exactly. We can just enjoy the game. If people have got fantasy, they'll be able to do their fantasy teams without having to go, oh God, I need the Bills to do this. I need the Bills to do that. So everyone's
I'll be doing my prediction league. I'm the only person that I've ever met who does a prediction league. I don't play fantasy, but I do the prediction, which is basically like Vegas betting. So you have 20. Yeah, you get 20 points to play with. It's an old school friend. We were like the only two people who watched NFL. And go back in touch. 20 points to play with. You basically make 5-6 picks of who's going to win. They have to beat a line. So you're given, like, the stronger teams obviously then have to overcome like a handicap to win. So it's like if the Bills were playing the Texans last season or something like that, the Bills had like a 17-point line. So if you pick the Bills to win, they have to win by 18 for you to get your points. And just like that every week until the season. So, yeah, give me a shout if anyone is interested in that, because we need two more people and we'll have 32, which means we can have a proper, like, knockout championship. We keep having to sort of fudge it slightly because we've got, like, 30 people in it at the moment, so we need, like, two more. So,
I think it's the NFL.com, actually do the pick'ems whatever it is, the one where you've got to, like, I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I think it's just called NFLPL. Like, Richard just gets a spreadsheet sent to him like a couple of days before with the line on, and he's this Excel genius, so he's able to like format all the things and do all the positions and that kind of thing. He's got all these amazing stats about what the picks of the weeks and the shit lock-ins of the weeks and how much people lost on an obvious one where it went wrong for them and last minute field goals that ruin it for you and that kind of thing. And, you know, people beating the spread. That's good fun.
Yeah. Well, I know so I remember, and we can talk a lot about fantasy football, to be honest. there is like, as I say, what was it? It's not like a knockout one, but you've got, I can't remember it. It's probably going to come back to me sometime during the day, where you've got a list. You've got each week you pick. It's gone. Oh well. But hey, let's move on. Let's move on. We'll digress. Let's hit into it. Let's go with obviously the wide receiver battle. We're gonna look at battles for the wide receiver class. I mean, outside Diggs and Davis, I think everyone has their favorites on there, but it's gonna be really interesting to see what type of combination that the Bills actually go with and how many they take.
So,
I mean, what's it? They usually take six or seven each year?
It's 6 or 7 from what I've read about it across the league. It's usually one or the other. And after about a 20-minute argument on our last episode, I think Mark finally had the casting vote in the, because I wasn't phrasing the question very well, but I think it was, if you end up being like a kickoff returner or a punt returner, obviously you're a nominated wide receiver, but that's the job that you do, because obviously it's very rare, unless it's a 2-minute offense at the end of the game where you play 5 wide receivers. Most usually people get on the field as 4, which means that if you're a kickoff returner or a punt returner, that's the job that you'll have as your sort of 6 wide receiver. But you're still named a wide receiver, even if you play special teams. There's no such position on the 53 as kickoff returner. You're just a wide receiver who does that job, because you're not normally in the top four. So if we go with 6, I tell you, it does get really, really interesting. I'm pretty sure Diggs and Davis are going to make it.
Yeah.
I think Jameson Crowder is probably going to make it. It would be a great surprise if he didn't, because they've signed him in the offseason. I guess everyone has to prove it, don't they?
Yeah.
Which then it starts to get a little bit more interesting. Quick sidebar. I think another question of training camp's going to be is, we've lost Cole Beasley, we've lost Emmanuel, well, we didn't lose them, we know where they went, but they're not part of the wide receiver group anymore. So we have to, I think about training camp. Is this group stronger than this time last season? Because I think in most other areas of the roster, I think the Bills have got better. And it's been an assumption that we'll continue to get better in every position. And I think, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, he said it himself, he was probably feeling his age by the second half of the season. I think Cole Beasley probably was as well. It's interesting to see what they've gone on to do, which is not a great deal since they left the Bills. But is wide receiver 4, 5, 6 going to be enough to replace them? And when you start getting into that, which is Isaiah McKenzie, who I think, again, they've re-signed him in the offseason. That's number 4. But he still has to prove it.
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
I got his name wrong. No. Shakir, number 5. Which then leaves us, if those are the 5 and they have to prove it, but I think that those are the 5 positions that I think is theirs to lose, because I think if they do their jobs, which then leaves, and I was just checking this evening, if they go 6, there's 1 position left after the 5 we just named, from Tanner Gentry, Isaiah Hodgkins, Jake Humero, Marcus Stevenson.
Don't forget, did you not forget Tavon Austin?
Tavon Austin, sorry, I knew I'd missed one. Kumaro.
You said Austin, Crowder, Davis, yeah. Diggs, Gentry, Hodgins, Kumaro, McKenzie, Neil Payu.
Oh no, I haven't mentioned yet. No, you're right. I didn't mention those were my leading 5. I think they're more likely practice squad. But I'm saying I think the 6th position is one of the 5 that I named.
Yeah.
Unless you feel free to disagree.
No, I think everyone's top. Well, at least top 4 at least would be Diggs, Davis, Crowder, and McKenzie on there. I think you're more likely going to have Shakir on there because he's your rookie. You've invested a pick in there, and he can be used in different packages.
Yeah,
and he can play be your punt returner, so you can break him in gently doing it. This is where I think they may go 6. The reason I'm thinking they're going 6 rather than potentially the 7 on there is because they drafted James Cook,
who
can play receiver, who can play out the backfield.
Yeah, and though officially he's a running back, though, isn't he? I know we're all getting excited with dump passes and checkdowns and stuff and that kind of thing that he could, you know, he can do that. But officially, he'll be a running back. He'll count as a running back. Yeah.
But he can be the added slot guy if they do decide to actually kick it out or have him in formation and decide to kick him out to wide receiver or into slot or something like that. And you also got, obviously, OJ Howard. They brought him along. They signed him up. Okay, they're he'll probably be used more as a backup to Dawson Knox, but he's another guy which you can't class him directly as a wide receiver, but he can play that role. So what they've done in this offense or in this offseason is brought in players that are roster locked to another position, but have that interchangeable skill that they can play multiple positions. That's why I think they go six. And to be honest, just looking at if we go by obviously by height, I mean you've got Shakir, which is 6 foot, McKenzie 5'8", and Diggs 6 foot, Davis 6'2", and apparently he's put on an extra 17 pounds or something like that of muscle. On there, do you go with the guys that left over, the guys that were actually going to be fighting for that last spot? You've got Tanner Gentry, 6'2", Hodgins, 6'3", Kumaro, 6'4", Payu, 6'4", and you've got Marquise Stevenson, 5'10". It's how they make it up. And to be honest, I see the battle for that last spot between Hodgins and Kumaro.
Yeah.
And I think for me, you look at Hodgins more if they're going with six. If they go with seven, Kumaro and Hodgins will be in there. I think Marcus Stevenson's the one looking on the edge. But if they go six, I think what Hodgins can give you with the height, with the catch radius and with the speed will offer a lot more of a developmental sixth guy that they can bring in, have him on the roster and actually use him. And opposition don't have that much tape on him. So he could be that X factor as a sixth wide receiver that comes in on certain plays. Like if they decide to go play action, but they have two tight ends, they have Diggs and say one other, and they use Isaiah Hodgins, who knows? So it is going to be an interesting training camp. I mean, we've still got, I think, a space or two left on the 90-man roster for it. So you never know what happened this off-season. But I feel that the five that you've mentioned are pretty much a lock. And really, it's all how, and we don't know yet what Dorsey wants to do with that playbook. Because he said they're going to keep majority of the stuff and terminology that they used on Dable's playbook.
Yeah. But
obviously, he's going to add some of his own spin to it. So whether he uses wants a bit more speed on there, then you're looking at potentially Stevenson, Hodgins. I've even forgotten Tavon Austin. You forgot him earlier. I forgot him now. You still use him, and maybe he could be your seventh, or maybe fight Hodgins and Kumaro for the sixth, because with him you can have him do jet sweeps like McKenzie.
Yeah.
He can actually be a punt returner as well. He's got a skill set which made the Bills go for him and actually take him for the year. So it's really going to be an interesting camp for wide receivers. And I guess whoever has the better chemistry, say with Josh Allen, is more than likely going to get that nod in that final thing. So I have that strange feeling that it will be almost like Josh Allen's almost decision. He'll have a major say in the last few spots on that.
I think that's a very, very good point. I mean, not to credit myself too much, but the balance shifted at a point I made a couple of episodes ago about Ken Dorsey was Josh Allen's pick. And there's that thing of the influence of Josh Allen over the offense seems to be coming in. Now, I was mentioning, I think the possibility of using two tight end sets, possibility of using, I think, 13 personnel, using three running backs and just really opening things up a bit. I have to sort of counterpoint that with, well, if they are keeping the same terminology, if they are keeping much the playbook, are they simply just going to refine what they've already been doing, but doing it a little bit better rather than making wholesale changes? So if I was going to be a betting person, which I'm not, I would say if they're going to do anything, they're going to do, and I know we were talking about wide receivers, but offense in general, I think they'll do more two tight ends because they've not really done before, and they're going to do more screen pass type stuff, which I think lends itself to I think they probably go like either for my number six, I think they go, I mean, we said it, didn't we? It's Kumerow or Hodgkins, I think, for the for the six. And I think it's a great problem to have, but I think Stevenson just misses out. And I think he either gets,
I just think me, you and Mark are going to have fun later on in the off-season when we have to put together a 53-man roster.
Yes.
We're going to have so many arguments on this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting to see. And I mean, another position group that we've got to look at for training camp and just the makeup of it is that defensive line. Because really, they take 10. We know they take 10, but do you take five of each? So you take five defensive ends, five defensive tackles, or do you do a mixture? So you do six defensive ends or and four defensive tackles. I mean, again, we run the room of the defensive tackles. Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips, Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, the rookie Prince Emile, Brandon Bryant, rookie CJ Brewer, Eli Anku. They're your defensive tackles, and Russo, Mike Love, Lawson, Kingsley Jonathan, a rookie, AJ Epinesa, Boogie Basham. Yeah. And if you want to class Von Miller as a defensive end,
does that perhaps tip the scales towards a 6'4" tackle end, and you still officially double quote Von Miller is still a linebacker, but then it means you only need to take four ends.
And then you've got
six tackles, because to be honest, Bills, it's a 4-3 defense, but it's actually 4-2-5, and then Von Miller is sort of he's the three of the 4-3, but then he then takes over as the other defensive end. And again, the key word these days is hybrid, isn't it? He's a linebacker, he's basically a pass rusher. They drafted a linebacker who might be able to play multiple positions, Joel Pernard.
It's
probably 6-4 if they're going to do it, or do they just go quality? Yeah. Do they just pick the best 10? They have at least three, probably four, and then if it's four each, they pick the best of the last two.
I mean, the official Bills. The official Bills roster lists. Von Miller as a linebacker. So based on that, you could see it. And we do know that McDermott loved to rotate his defensive line, especially on his interior.
Yes.
And the fact that you've got the four defensive tackles that are most likely going to be in there, in Settle, Phillips, Oliver, and Daquan Jones.
Yeah,
you've got those four set, and as I say we're gonna make Von Miller a linebacker in this chat. You're gonna have Russo, Mike Love. No. You have Russo, Shaq Lawson, Epinesa, and Boogie Basham as more than likely your defensive ends on there. So that's eight already.
Yeah.
So you look at it and see who can make that impact, who can be that guy to come in and be serviceable. So you have, say, Prince Emile, Brandon Bryant, CJ Brewer, Eli Anku, Mike Love, Kingsley Jonathan, as your let's call them defense D-line 9, D-line 10.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I could see I could see him going six. I think Jonathan, I think though, if he shines at camp, he'll definitely be a practice squad guy for sure. Yeah. But you're potentially looking at going with tried and tested on there with Brandon Bryant and Eli Ankou as your 9 and 10 on there. We know Ankou actually in the last half of last season actually started to really motor a little bit more and really started to come into his own as a guy. He's, I mean, 6'3", 325. Brandon Bryant, 6'2", 305. Mm. So, and you know, Ankou, I think, was decent against the run. I don't think he was the he was ranked highly as it, but I think you're looking at how the makeup is. You've got guys there. I mean, Ed Oliver can obviously run, rush the passer. I mean, Phillips can do both.
He's not going to be double teamed nearly as often now he's got Von Miller, is he? So you imagine Ed Oliver not being double teamed in single block.
Yeah, you've got Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, who are all good against the run, and with Phillips especially, and in the last episode, I listed some of his numbers, especially when he was at the Bills before he moved to the Cardinals. Someone who can also get after the pass rusher. So we're going to have an offense on there that really can see exactly how if you try and double team one guy, you're just going to leave yourself vulnerable. But I'm just wondering, it's a battle to watch out for, because as I say, you still got positions, you still got spots open, and I'm just trying to see who is available as free agents on there that really could come in and be that and what's the best word to sub it, or to really give a kick up the arse to the likes of Bryant and Ankou to really make it.
Yeah, I mean, bearing in mind that on game day, we're looking like we're relatively settled on the four defensive tackles and relatively settled at the end. Really, on game day, you've only really got two of each. And yes, they will cycle them through and they'll rotate them in and out. But we are looking at positions 5 and 6, which again, fantastic problems to have, isn't it? When we're not even worried about it. But it is going to be one to spot in the training camp, because there's a lot of fairly decent talent there at that fifth and sixth spot that's going to keep the top four on their toes. And I know this is training camp, but again, it goes into the first and second preseason games as well. And that's going to be interesting, because I think the live reps that they get, the live snaps that they get, I mean, those first two preseason games, because that's often the best way you can find out, isn't it? Particularly at those positions. You can probably find out in, what a receiver's like, or what a running back's like, or what a quarterback's like in a training camp. But actually playing opposition on the trenches,
I think, for them all. I mean, you look at the obviously the free agent defensive tackles that are available on there. Obviously, maybe it's probably not going to happen. They bring back Star possibly on a cheap deal, depending on how it's left and how he feels about it. I mean, you've got Lindell Joseph from the Chargers, and Ndamukong Suh is actually a free agent at the moment.
Yeah,
Malik Jackson, Sheldon Richardson, Gerald McCoy, even Danny Shelton is a name that we've been looked at or been linked with on there. Even bring back Justin Zimmer.
God, so yeah.
There are guys on this in free agents that could come in and actually upset the apple cart. So
you think they might bring in someone else? Because I think they're probably okay. I was going to mention something on a preamble, but we ended up getting sidetracked in fantasy and prediction league. I hold my hand up for that. But I was going to mention, because we did talk about veteran cornerbacks, and there's been a bit of a rumor that's been on the wires today about them signing a veteran corner. But you think they might bring in someone on for the D line, like, based on what they already have?
I don't know. Say that they're settled on eight, and we know that probably going into game day, they're going to dress the eight that is going to be Phillips, Settle, Jones, Oliver, Epinesa, Basham. Who else did I miss out? Russo, and who else am I missing out? That fourth defensive end, did I say? Fuck's sake, name's lost me already. That's not a good sign.
I wrote down Russo, Basham, Espinosa, and Shaq.
Shaq Lawson, that's the one.
Yeah.
And then obviously have Von Miller in there, but as that linebacker hybrid, but they could even just dress seven on there, and you have that battle between what, like Epinesa and Basham, or Lawson and Basham for that third spot on game day. Because if they're going to use Von Miller more as a defensive end, have him listed at linebacker frees up that spot.
Yeah.
So you can go into a game day as with seven defensive linemen. Yeah. So even though we're talking about training camp battles in here, it's still one to look at, because
yeah.
you look at how they play on the depth chart. We know Russo is going to be probably, I say, with Von Miller being a linebacker, defensive end number one.
Yeah.
I think he's shown enough last year, and obviously working with Von Miller in the offseason, to be defensive end number one. Obviously, you'll have Von Miller on the other side, but you have that battle now. And interesting to see which one of the guys actually really take that next step and really be that bookmark that we can maybe, if we want to, drop Von Miller into a linebacker role if we need to, for a play or two, knowing that we have a Lawson, Epinesa, or Basham in there to spell it. And I think, to be honest, I know everyone was clamoring and happy that Shaq Lawson came back. That I think that he may be behind, and this is bold for me, Epinesa in that on the other end. Only saying that because obviously Epinesa's had 3 years in this system. Shaq Lawson's been away for what, a couple of years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So McDermott, the defensive line, Leslie Frazier, they've seen what Epinesa has actually done and how he's grown, and know that they will trust him because he already knows the terminology of the place. And all that, and Shaq's going to be coming in. Yes, he's a veteran. Yes, he's played for the Bills before, but he may take a bit of time to adjust again and actually get up to speed with the playbook, because it's going to be vastly different to the Dolphins. That gives AJ Epinesa that little leg up beforehand. So that's going to be an interesting battle, really.
A leg up, and also a possible small fire under his bottom as well, because I agree with you that I think it should be Esmer's job to lose. We keep waiting for that breakthrough year for him to have a Dawson Knox type year, or you know, just like we've all been hoping for Jermaine as well, just have that absolutely, you know, dismiss all the doubters kind of thing. You know, having Shaq Lawson ready to step in might just be the motivation that he's going to need. Because like you say, if we say that Russo is the number one and Von Miller is the de facto number two, even playing at a linebacker role, you've got, let's say, Ed Oliver and Settle as the two tackles, and then you've got Milano and Edmonds as the linebackers. I'm just saying those seven names out loud. That's a pretty strong front seven, isn't it? So Miller is going back as a linebacker, and you know, he's sort of same thing to move, but then, you know, dropping back. You've then got, as you say, you've got about Basham, Espinosa versus Shaq as the replacement. Well, 3-1 doesn't go, but with the rotation, with the ways he's desperately going to be needing those reps. He can't fall behind, because there's just no place on the team for him now.
No, except
probably will be resigned or resolved to, okay, if I sit on the bench, hey, I might just get a championship at the end of this. I can, you know, I can live with that. Espinoza needs to be thinking, no, this is my year, because that's his year three, isn't it? Because he was the year after Russo and Backlund, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's had two coming into three, isn't he? So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is his moment, isn't it? He's got to go. And so you wonder if, you know, getting it back to training camp and those early pre-season games, he's a name that I'd like to hear a lot of.
Yeah. Talking about what to prove and show that he belongs on the roster.
Hmm.
This brings us nicely to the O-line. I mean, the one thing is the enigma that is Cody Ford on there.
Yes.
I mean, they've made a few improvements over the off-season, actually. Obviously, bringing in Roger Saffold in as probably the big-name signing on that of that offensive line.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see how, and obviously David Quesenberry, who can play guard and tackle.
That happened so fast, his name almost didn't give chance to land in my brain. I remember that while I was still getting used to him, and then he sort of slips in. That is one heck of a deep O-line now, isn't it?
It gives you a think, saying with Cody Ford, is he, and we'll probably come on to this because it's probably in our next section, is he really a risk on here? Because, I mean, let's go through what we have on the O-line going into camp. Obviously, David Quesenberry, Luke Tenuta, a rookie, the one called Bobby Hart, Tommy Doyle, Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, rookie Alex Anderson of UCLA. Who else have we got? We've got Tanner Owen, a rookie out of Northwest Missouri State. Derek Kersetta, a rookie out of Texas. You've got, obviously, Cody Ford, Ryan Bates, Roger Saffold, Jacob Capra, Ike Botka, Greg Manx. He's floating around. Have I missed anyone else? Mitch Morse. So you know you've got four of that five set in stone already. So you've got Dawkins, you've got Saffold, depends on where he plays, left or right guard. You've got Mitch Morse. And you've got Spencer Brown and Mitch Morse. So it is going to be
Bates versus Ford for right guard. I mean,
he was tried at
guard, wasn't he? Cody Ford didn't work. So he's not like Espinoza, because I think it's slightly different. He's going to have to do something to break into that line. Now, if I'm guilty of anything, it's loving too much. And I'm not one of the people who's ready to sort of beat up on a player too often. I think Cody Ford's had his problems. He hasn't shined. I'm not ready to completely give up on him. I think if he has a good run, he can still be useful. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, completely break through to be a superstar, but he could still be a very useful player, and that's always a good thing to have. I was reading something about it, and actually they were saying after his absolute shocker games that he had in the middle of the season, actually when he was involved near the end of the season, he actually wasn't bad. Actually, wasn't that bad at all. It was just that because of his howlers, that's it. It's Calamity James, isn't it? Once you've got the reputation, it doesn't matter what you do. But that's where it's going to be, isn't it? That's where the training camp competition is going to be, I think, at that right guard. Is Spencer Brown going to have the year two that we want? You know, he's been gambling on going for, you know, freakish, superstar specimens who can pick up the game, rather than, you know, people pick huge fellas with the right attitude and hope that they can learn it. If yes, then Spencer Brown becomes an absolute, you know,
star.
Monster tackle, doesn't he? He becomes he becomes the next Deion Dawkins, doesn't he? Just an absolute lockdown tackle that's just like, yeah, no worries.
I mean,
I got this.
You've got a couple of dark horses for this for the right guard. I mean, obviously he's injured at the moment, but Ike Botka is actually is in there. I think Ryan Bates, even with Botka fit and healthy, is going to be Bates is going to be higher than Botka in there. But you've also got Greg Manx, who can actually play guard center, but it's going to be interesting to see the makeup, because to be honest,
two things even... they love Bate, they love Rick, don't they?
That's
a big thing. And he was, I think we said this on the last episode, but he was always the backup to Morse, wasn't he? That's why they didn't want to throw him in, because if anything happened to Morse, then Bates is in, you got no one. Well, that problem's now been resolved now, hasn't it, because of Manx. So they've got him, who can, I think, back up Morse as well as, you know, maybe get a job of his own. And then Bates is now free to challenge for the right guard, given if we think that Saffold is left guard locked up.
Yeah. Because
he's not as good right guard, so that's still, I think that's going to be an open battle.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at the roster and how they're likely to roster on the 53 when it comes to it, you're going to have David Quesenberry. You've got a guy who can play tackle and guard. You've signed him. Yeah. He's actually done well for a thing. You're going to have Tommy Doyle, because you drafted him. Oh. He showed a bit of promise last year. Obviously, Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, they're pretty much bookend locked in straight away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have Rick Bates, Roger Saffold, Ike Botka when he's actually returned. And what's that? That's about seven at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Greg Manx, eight. So you're really thinking...
What do they take on an O-line normally?
You're really looking at, can Cody Ford beat out Jacob Capra? Can he beat out Tanner Owen, a couple of rookies? Can he beat out Bobby Hart to get that last base? I think it is a set in stone how many we've got. Whether there is a surprise in there, we only wait and see how training camp actually plays out.
He's fighting for a backup tackle spot there, isn't he?
What Cody saying? Ford?
Yeah.
You think he's going to go back to tackle?
Well, did it work? Did it work for him at guard? I'm just throwing it out there. Do you think he's still a guard at heart?
I think if they were thinking of him as a tackle, they would have. Last season, they would have taken him more when they played him. They would have played him more as a tackle than they did guard, or get him learning a lot more back into guard. I think what Ford's problem was when he came, when he came in, he was a tackle, but they wanted to move him to guard, but got him doing tackle as well. So what I think he didn't really have time to learn that one set position. I think what I'm hearing, and when you speak to the likes of Matt Prino, Ryan Tolbert and all those guys that actually cover him day in, day out, I think they're trying to transition him more to that guard role.
So they're sticking with the move to guard then. They're not gonna
change.
Okay.
But that's my opinion on that. I mean, it could I could be 100% wrong, and they could end up cutting him after the first week of training camp.
Well, that's it. I mean, check your thing. We'll find out within the first couple of days how he's lining up, and he'll probably be lining up with the seconds, won't he? If Rick goes in guard, or if they try, but it's here in which case it's Bates, Butker. Ford for the right guard, then, isn't it?
But I mean, they've even got, again, they could even open up. I mean, this training camp, the players on the roster are not always going to be the same players on the roster for the whole training camp. I mean, let's just, I'm going devil's advocate here and looking at free agent guards, Eric Flowers, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Billy Price is out there. Carl Long. If you wanted to go old school, Quinton Spain, John Miller. One guy I like who never got a shot, really, Huljet Froholt. but there was one thing I was reading there. Was it Bleach? Was it Bill's Wire? I was reading articles on there. We're talking about potentially the Bills doing a trade during the season for with Jacksonville for what was his name? Where is it? Where is that list? There we go. Bills or Bleach Report suggests it, and it's written by David DeCristofaro, who we had on the show a while back. Is the Bills trading for Walker Little from the Jaguars? Give sending a fourth round pick in 2023. He's a starting caliber guard, and he could, and being about 24, 25, and all that. He's got that years ahead of him, and you've got a guy who's a starting caliber and actually played at guard. They can potentially jump straight in. So you can't necessarily look at what we've got on in the office.
Yeah.
That's the right word. That's the right phrase. In the building. That's the one.
In the room, in the building. Yeah. They've signed Manx. They've already signed Questenberry and Safford, so they signed three offensive linemen in the offseason. They already had a settled offensive line by the end of the season. If they find whoever they're taking, I think they'll take the ones that they've got at training camp. I don't think they go outside. I think they've probably done their business for bringing guys in. I think they've got their guys. Now they need to determine the pecking order, I think.
Yeah. This is the reason why, for us, training camp's going to be fun. We know we don't have problems like the Jets, like the Patriots, like the Cowboys.
I think the Jets, I tell you, I'm going to say it, and I don't want to spoil our season predictions, because I think that's going to be a fun episode when we predict win-loss and 1-2, who's 1-2-3-4 in each division. I think the Jets could have an interesting training camp in the sense that they could be finding what that kind of blueprint, what their Jets thing with Zach and, you know, the players they've got. I think they could have an interesting training camp, actually. Patriots might be funny, though.
It's all right. With the Jets, like Sam Darnold with the Ghosts, all we just need to do is get Milfs in front of Zach Wilson, and he'll be more distracted by that than actually playing. He'll throw a pick. Yeah. Stick. I don't know. Was it his girlfriend's mum or something there? Or something. Stick them at cornerback. He's going to be throwing it all the way to her, won't he?
Yes.
But let's go on. Players on the bubble. I mean, there is. We've gone through three positional groups, really. Yeah. And there are names on that bubble that you can actually see: Cody Ford, Jake Kumerow, like Boogie Basham, if you want to use that like that. Is there any guy?
Do you think he's a bubble? Do you think Boogie's a bubble guy?
Well. Okay, probably not.
He's only coming into year two, isn't he? But if he doesn't have a good year two, I think again it's going to be interesting. I think it could be a real dogfight between him, AJ. I'm sure I'm saying his last name wrong. So I'm going to call him AJ. AJ Espinosa. Espinosa. I can't say it right. For that kind of DE2, AJ. Just AJ. That fight for DE2 could find a lot about it, because you know, you put pressure on, you squeeze people, and some people they focus, and some people fall away.
Interesting. Who do you see then? Whether it be veterans, whether it be any position that really could be on the bubble in this training camp, and really need a training camp to really step up and show that they're worthy of the 53 or even the practice squad, because we know that in the practice squads, they don't necessarily always go for players that are actually on the roster that have been in training camp. They'll go out, and the majority of their practice squad guys will be guys from outside the building. So are there any guys in your mind that really is a on the bubble?
Well, we haven't mentioned the position yet, but I think it might be a good time to mention it, which is running back. And
okay,
not that I think that he's on the bubble, but I'm going to mention it in a. I know I'm not answering your question. I'm going to slightly rephrase it by saying possible hot seat rather than bubble.
That's fair.
But I think Zach Moss, Tywan Jones could be either hot seat or dare I say bubble, because I think Singletary is in. I think that's probably given. I think James Cook is a one to watch in training camp. He's going to be on the 53. I think come what may, because I think he's probably going to show more than that. I think that's exciting. We've signed Duke Johnson, which I think, again, he could be one of those, you know, surprise characters, which kind of leaves you with, you know, Tywan Jones and Zach Moss sort of fighting over a fourth or a fifth. Looking down the list, I'm not familiar with Raheem Blackshear, undrafted, I think. So I'm not qualified to comment. But Zach Moss, Tywan Jones, they're slipping in that order.
I think
they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to make a name for themselves or remake a name for themselves. Get Brexit redone.
I think Moss might be safe. I think it's going to be. You're looking at Tywan Jones. Can the guys that come in, the rookies like Benford's, Spectre and all that, can they play special teams in Gunner that you're going to not need Tywan Jones? And Duke Johnson, I think, now with the addition of James Cook, is definitely on that bubble. Those two really are the veterans in that spot. But I'm looking personally at tight end. Thomas Sweeney.
Oh, yeah, Sweeney's. Okay.
He's had, on his day, he can be a very serviceable tight end.
Yeah.
But I just think that his injury problems that he's had, okay, one of them was not an injury, physical injury that he sustained during a game. It was a health scare, obviously. I just think that may have set him back a little bit more. And bringing in OJ Howard and having Quinton Morris is coming in, and even Jalen Wendemere coming in, that just creates a bit more pressure on Tommy Sweeney to really pick it up and show his worth. I mean, the coaching staff love him, but how often are they gonna play three tight ends during a game?
Yeah,
and they've got Reggie Gillum.
How many make the roster? Three, four?
I'd say three would make the roster. I mean, depends on what they put Reggie Gillum as, because.
Yeah.
If they take three tight ends, Reggie Gillum makes it still makes it anyway as that specialist fullback, special teams hybrid guy, that he could be that third tight end on game days. So you're always going to have the third tight end as an inactive. So to really prove himself, I think Tommy Sweeney is definitely a guy on that bubble.
So his competition for that third spot. I mean, yeah, Dawson Knox, OJ Howard. Let's say they're on the 53. Quinton Morris, Jalen Widemeyer, rookie, and a 1 year and a rookie, respectively. I mean, I think what we are probably saying is that Sweeney is going to be a game day inactive, isn't he? The
that's
sort of what he's what he is. And is he worth sticking around for that, or do they see something at training camp from a Quinton Morris or a Weidemeyer that means that he's worth it? I don't see him losing that spot. I think he'd have to do something pretty dreadful. But he's coming up. What's it, year four? He's coming into now.
Tommy Sweeney. Yeah.
So it could be, well, they get another year out of him, and then they have to make a decision now. Do you want a fifth year option for a tight end three on an offense where we're arguing about who's the sixth best wide receiver because the top five are pretty much locked, and we think we've got two or three running backs who are pretty strong, and we've got a defense that's going to put you on your ass. So he's probably going to be happy to be there along for the ride. But I mean, man, isn't it good to be arguing about TE3 and WR6?
Exactly.
I'll tell you one more thing as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it quiet? Like, there doesn't seem to be, I know obviously they'll keep a lid on things, they deal with things in-house, but there's no sense of tension or people like, I mean, there was the whole thing with Jordan Poyer and that was kind of thing, and that seems to have sort of died back a little bit, and he's probably going to stuff some 50s in his mouth just to, you know, keep him quiet. But there's that sense that, okay, guys, this is not a time to muck about. This is,
exactly.
We all know where this season's going to end. Do not muck this up for us. And everyone's like, yeah, there's going to be 53 spots and we think 45 of them are probably already locked. So you're fighting for 8 places. We all know where this train is going. That, you know, everyone seems to be pointed in the same direction, don't they?
No, exactly. I mean, that's why we like training camp. I mean, we could go on and on about different positions and all that, but most of them are now set in stone. I mean, your defensive backs are pretty much set in stone for now. I mean, it might be a case of which youngster makes the makes it out of McLeod, Lewis, Griffin, and Benford. Because we know that not all rookies, like 6th and 7th round rookies recently have not been selected on there. And linebacker, let's say we know that Von Miller's going to be classed as that. So you're going to have Von Miller, Matt Milano, Matakevich, Tremaine Edmonds, Tyrell Dodson, 5 straight up there, which means that you've got Marquel Lee, who's on suspension. No, that's Andre Smith that's on suspension.
Yeah.
Daniel Spector, Marquel Lee. So you've got guys on there that really are on the I wouldn't even say are decent players, decent backups, but just don't have the clout and the presence to really challenge the big four.
Yeah. So you take someone like a Baylen Spector. I mean, he's fighting for a final place or perhaps even a practice squad place, because the roster's that good that we're now almost drafting for the practice squad, just like, you know, in case the worst happens, we've got guys coming in from the practice squad who are actually pretty good. It's amazing what sort of winning cultures and winning rosters can do. You know, even the backups and the guys looking in are decent. But yeah, happy days.
So last but not least, who should the Mafia look out for in training camp? Who's the one? Who's, you can get one, you can get a couple of names, doesn't matter how many. Who's your one to watch out for, and who will be a surprise at the camp?
Is that the same question, or are you
put them as the same question, or you can do them as two separate ones. If you think that there is one guy who's going to definitely be a man to watch, and if there's going to be like a JoJo Harris or a Mike Love that will actually surprise at camp and then actually put himself in the fray and obviously who you're excited to see at training camp. Let's put it that way.
I'm really excited to see. There's a few obvious choices which I won't name because obviously we all want to see Kyrie Lamb. So let's not even go there. Because you all want to see the first round picks, and obviously I think James Cook. I'm gonna say Terrell Bernard, because the feeling, there was a bit of a gasp out of the draft that he was a reach, he came too soon, and I've got enough faith in Bean that he knows what he's doing, and I'll be interested in what they do with him this year. Is he just going to be there to learn from Milano and Edmonds and obviously Von Miller? Is he there to do that, or are they developing a new kind of position and a new kind of player that might be a sort of nickel, a line nickel corner, or you know, something like that, like someone almost like a secondary spy or something like that, like that he can be a linebacker, but he can cover the pass as well. And I'd be interested to see what they do with him. Do they just get him to learn the playbook and redshirt him and, you know, see what he's got and get him fit or are they actually going to develop a particular role for him? That's mine.
Yeah. I mean, I agree 100% with that. I mean, Bernard, if you look at him compared to, and I think I said this when we drafted him, you compare him to Matt Milano. Matt Milano, 6'2", 223. Bernard, 6'1", 224. And Milano went from, safety to linebacker. Bernard's done sort of similar on there. So there's that similar sort of skill set. So I think he is one to watch out for. And I think that he might push someone for that spot. He may even push them to put Von Miller as a defensive end kicking out, to say probably one of those youngsters and defensive end, or they could go with six and sacrifice a position somewhere else on there. But you're looking at cornerback, really, where the guys to shine really will happen. I mean, obviously you've got Cam Lewis has been now or thereabouts, played all over the place on that in the cornerbacks, the boundary and slot. He's one to watch out for. And I kind of think that there might be a surprise in there with the rookie out of Tulsa, Trayvon Fuller, as a cornerback.
Okay.
I did have his details up, but my systems actually just decided to crash.
Let me see if I can fill. I tell you what, you have made an interesting call on, which is that cornerback position, because as much as everyone wants Trey to come back and come back healthy and the way as good as he was before, and as excited as everyone is for Kyrie Lamb to see if he's, you know, as good as, you know, if he can be that NFL starter from week one. He's going to be an NFL starter, but is he going to be a great NFL starter? Is he going to take a bit of time to learn, or is he just going to bang, hit the ground, as Liz Truss would say? I think there's still a spot that's up for grabs there.
Mm.
And you wonder if, like, because like Dane Jackson's going to be sort of, you know, thinking, okay, it's my spot. You know, maybe I need to step up a little bit and cover. I actually quite like what he's been doing, but is he at the limit, or is there going to be a cornerback, like you say, who might think, well, hang on a second, if you go with four cornerbacks and Trey and Elam are two and Dane Jackson's the third, maybe I can get that fourth and fight for the third, you know.
No, exactly.
Something like that. So that's an interesting thing. I'm going to do my. I'm just going to do the. If they were going to sign one player, it was rumor mill, probably by his agent, but Joe Hayden.
Apparently
good mates with Von Miller and Stephon Diggs, veteran, 33, former Pro Bowl, the Steelers. Depending on when Trey comes back, and we still don't know. People said week 4, week 5. We don't know. We honestly don't know. But they might need a bit of cover. Maybe they hold on to that, see if someone comes out of training camp.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I just can't find my scouting stuff for Fuller, but yeah. He is a guy. He played 4 years at Texas A&M, so you know he's no slouch on there. Only had limited snaps on there, but when he came over, played for Tulsa. But is a guy that has that speed, height sort of thing that the guys like, that McDermott likes in there, 6'1", 180 pounds and all that. And let me just try. I'm just buying myself some time here to talk about.
You're feeling like an absolute pro, mate. Yeah,
that this is when people listen to this, they're going to go,
I'm going to throw a couple of other names at you because I don't know any. I've not seen Tim Harris. I recognize the name. Olajai Griffin as well. We've even got a Jamarcus Ingram as well. Are these guys practice squad guys?
I definitely think that Griffin is. I mean, I'd love to see Jamarcus Ingram. He's Buffalo's Bull guy. Yeah. And they do like to take locals here, like i.e. Cam Lewis. Really. So they are more practice squad guys. I think if I'm gonna throw one more name to watch out for, really, in there, I mean it's really hard because we've got pretty much the spaces are all pretty much full up. But if you're looking at anything, I think the other guy is another defensive back, and that's Josh Thomas.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's been given rave reviews on there he's done well. He's been practice squad last year. I think he's played a couple of games last season on there, and he's done pretty well. I think he's done in games. He's actually played two games, so two games for a safety. That he's good. He's young and developmental under Hyde and Poyer, and he likes to hit. So he's a tough physical tackler.
Yeah.
And likes to hit around. So he could be another guy to really watch. And those two, not just the ones to watch, but on my surprise packages as well.
Mm.
So I think that is a training camp preview that's actually gone into a bit of depth there. Is there anything you want to add at all?
Not quite UK Buffalo Bills, but let's keep it topical. 46 million a year for Kyler Murray. I mean, how good does Josh Allen's deal look now? Come on.
I think Josh Allen. I think they've played a blinder with him.
The blinder of all blinders, isn't it? I mean, it did seem like a lot before the year. Now it just looks like a bargain. Look at the half. They're going to be getting that money.
You kind of wonder, seeing that sort of money on there and seeing what Josh Allen made. You kind of put into your head that maybe Josh took a little bit of a discount.
Oh, I think he did.
You think that is another reason they're going for a long term? He took a bit of discount because he knows, obviously, he wants the team to succeed, and you've got players that are coming out of contract this year that they want to actually build that cap space for. So I think that's
money in effect that's gone to Stefon Diggs.
Exactly.
He's going to be I'm Aaron Rodgers. I want 50 million a year. Okay, great. Well, you ain't got any receivers now, mate. Because, you've got all of the money.
I think so,
Green Bay are going to be out in the first round of the playoffs again, aren't they?
I think it's good. I think we've got that roster. We've got that camaraderie now. We've got players that actually just want to be at the Bills. I mean, was it Von Miller was thinking Cowboys?
Yes, he was. And there's been a lot of chatter, hasn't there, about whether he really wanted to be here, and this was just the deal, and he could have had more if he'd gone somewhere else. Well, I'll tell you something. Week one against the Rams, he gets a sack, you know, they are going to be waiting for him at Buffalo Airport when they, you know, when they, yeah, when they fly back. You know, when he makes a sack or he makes a huge play at a Buffalo home game, he'll be like, oh, I made the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you never really know what people like, but he's going to be absolutely adored by the community. And you can't put a price tag on
him. Yeah.
And he'll get it. And at the end of this year, he'll be like, oh, man. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm happy here.
But no, I mean, the last thing I've got to say to the UK fans listening, obviously there is that meetup that's happening on the 31st of July at the Fitzrover Bell. I am working behind the scenes, and probably people that actually see this on the in the group on Facebook group Buffalo Bills UK have actually seen I'm actively trying to get people around the country to help actually get viewing parties set up. So
yeah,
obviously we've got the guys up in Manchester. They've actually got a place. I'm working on a place in Oxford, in Birmingham. There's a place set up in Nottingham, I believe. And there are other places I'm looking to actually to get. So if you're listening out there and know of any sort of sports bar, doesn't have to be a big name sports bar. It could be a smaller name that we can really stamp ourselves on, like the Fitzrover. Get in touch with me, point me in the direction, we'll work something out. If people haven't noticed that we are actually on Amazon Music, the podcast is on Amazon Music, not just Google Play, not just Spotify, not just iTunes, but Amazon Music. So wherever you listen to us, subscribe there. Follow us at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on YouTube, where we're going to put some videos up. And I think there is a bit of a demand for a live podcast.
Yeah, so, we are going to have to put on clothes for our live broadcast, aren't we?
Now you've given people the image that we're now sat
recording this. Now I've given them the motivation. The motivation, Matthew. The motivation.
That they've now got an image of me, you, and then obviously when Mark's on the show, we're actually sitting around in our underwear recording this. Yeah, this podcast.
Well, speak for yourself. I'd much prefer an unfurnished basement.
Yeah. But we'll figure that out. We'll find the right episode. We might even get a guest on and actually make it a Q&A. But we really love, once it goes live, to get as many people interacting and actually watching it as possible. At UK_Bills on Instagram. You follow Robin on Twitter at
Robin C. Armstrong.
You follow Mark at, oh, wait, he's not here. But you follow Mark at This Is Sparky S. I follow me at Matt SW86, and for Robin, till the next show, I'm Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about Mark. You don't know anything about work. He's not. That's who we are.
Does on three. One, two, three.